Hey there, lovebirds and lone wolves. It's your favorite sexpert, Stephanie Smith, and we're about to take a joyride through the wild world of sex and relationships. So buckle up, because we're going to laugh, learn, and maybe even blush a little as we uncover the secrets to kick-ass sex life. So grab your headphones and get ready for some scandalous stories, quirky advice, and a whole lot of laughs. Welcome to Let's Talk About Sex with me, Stephanie Smith, the podcast that's about to make your ears blush.
My hair done today. Got my hair cut after this.
Okay, 1 second, and we're going to go. There we go. We're live there. Cool. And we're live. Well, hello. Welcome to Let's Talk About Sex with me, Stephanie Smith. I am your host, and I have a special guest here today, Dr. Elliot Justin with MyFernTech. Thank you for being here, Dr. Justin.
Thanks. This is one of my favorite topics.
Mine too. Well, let me give a little introduction about Dr. Justin. Dr. Elliot Justin is a visionary in the fields of telemedicine and sexology, known for his groundbreaking approach to leveraging technology to enhance wellness across all age groups. As the founder of MyFernTech, he has developed cutting-edge devices and therapies that are redefining the intersection of medical technology and holistic care. His forward-thinking mentality and commitment to proactive health management make him a trailblazer in the industry. Welcome, Dr. Justin. As I like to say, Dr. J. And today's topic is a fun one. What goes up doesn't have to go down. But that's how, right? Does that define? Yeah, how does that work with, Newton's law? You know?
It has to go down eventually, but you can keep it up a lot longer now. And that's really for two reasons. At FirmTech, we have invented and we're marketing something called the Tech Ring. So what we've done is embedded sensors into a cock ring and come up with the world's first smart cock ring. So now you can be harder and smarter in the 21st century. So The first thing that's revolutionary about this is that we give men data. And as the cliche goes, if you can track it, you can hack it. So one overnight, the device will tell you the number of nocturnal erections you're having, which are a leading indicator of your cardiovascular health or indicative of a medication side effect or vices like alcohol and drug consumption. And one during sex, so the device is also the device to be worn during penetrative sex as well, too, or during masturbation. You will also get data about your hardness and how long you last. So with this data, men and the healthcare providers, if wanted, can measure the impact of diseases, diabetes, and hypertension, which are rampant. You can actually use this to monitor the progress of those diseases or your ability to reverse their progress by counting your number of nocturnal erections and measuring the duration and firmness of your erections. You can also measure the impact of medications with the big cock killers, the things that take it down early, are being a lot of the antihypertensives and the antidepressants and sleep medications. And men can then use this data to say, what's the right dose for me? Or maybe the side effect is so annoying. I mean, who wants a limp dick, especially if you're depressed, that you can then go back to your doctor and say, look, this is not working out for me. I need another approach. Because Steph, as you and I have discussed previously, doctors are kind of obtuse about these things. We just don't prioritize sex and recognize how important it is to people. So getting data is profoundly valuable. And this becomes, we call this the world's first underwearable. And what are men more interested in? How many steps they took, or the status of their cock while they're trying to have sex? So that's the data side of it. Mm-hmm. But the other aspect of keeping it up a long time or longer is to have an effective, comfortable cock ring. So cock rings they've been around since ancient times. There's an illustration of one in Pompeii on the wall, probably made out of leather. I know that in China they have found leather things that they think were cock rings from like 2000 BC. And I assume even before we found these artifacts, guys were putting stuff on their dicks because that's what guys do. So what's the goal? The goal of a cock ring is to hold blood in the penis to sustain erection, make it last longer. Because if you can't attain an erection, you need to see a doctor. Yes. That's a significant medical problem. If you can't sustain an erection, a ring is the first approach, meaning you can't sustain because you get an erection, you start to lose it. And you can lose it for any reason. You can lose it because, you know, your stupid phone goes off or the kids are next door and start making noise, or you get distracted by a thought, or someone says something you don't like, or it could be alcohol, could be too much pot, could be medication related. So there are lots of reasons why men lose erections, but a ring holds the blood in. But the problem with rings, they've been manufactured, mass produced about 150 years now in the United States and in Britain and in France. And they made out of these hard rubber rings. Mm-hmm. And they work. You have to have an erection first. And so you have to sort of interrupt sex. Oh, my God, I got my hard on now. Where's my fucking ring? And I put this ring on. Really worn for 20, 30 minutes because they're choking off the blood supply. It's like a noose. It's like you're lynching your dick. And who wants to lynch their dick?
Yeah, right.
So what we've done at FirmTech with our maximum performance ring, well, actually all our rings have this. We make our rings out of a soft elastomer as opposed to hard silicone.
I like that.
Yeah, so it's a medical-grade elastomer. And I know my wife likes it too because it's softer to rub against. And we have lots of female partners come in. This is a lot more comfortable than the partner devices that are made by Lilo or WeVibe, which look good because they're made out of silicone. Silicone holds color, but they're annoying. I mean, my wife and I tried WeVibe Sync O just last night because we'll pretty much try anything to have fun. And the clitoral vibrator was in the wrong position, and the ring around the penis was like – was uncomfortable, so we got rid of it. Anyway, our rings are made of soft elastomer. They don't block the arterial flow in. They're adjustable because it's a hook and loop closure for ease of use. And they only constrain the venous return. So that means you can put it on discreetly. You can put it on hours before you have sex. You can wear the rings for hours. You're going to have prolonged sex sessions. I don't know about you, Steph, but I can guess that you would like to have sex more than 20 minutes or 30 minutes. At least you'd like to know that, you know what, there's no time limit on this. That's like a 10 minutes starting to hurt. I want this off. It's like, no, I can now make love for a long period of time confidently. So,
well, and you're talking about men wearing it all night long to track their nocturnal erection. So what is the feedback with the men wearing it all night long?
Well, we sold several thousand of them, and I would say there's we always focus on the negative. Yeah, but there have been a handful of men who have found it to not many, probably certainly less than 10, have found it to be uncomfortable to wear overnight. A couple of those men were large, and the loop actually can be loosened so that to accommodate that, and so we recommended that to them. You know, men are really obtuse about following instructions. So,
yeah.
and so a lot of problems we've had, complaints, questions we have from customers really occur from guys wanting to like put it on and go. But maybe if you're really big or really small, you need to read the instructions. So at both extremes, if it's too small, people can tighten it. If guys are really big, they need to loosen it. We've had also, a lot of guys, myself included, we're not used to wearing things at night. I've slept naked since I stopped wearing underwear when I was 12. So women were used to wearing things at night. It's more common for women to wear a negligee or wear panties because they're discharged, whatever reason. Guys often sleep naked. So for me, when we came up with a ring, and I have someone who takes my watch off at night. I'll even sometimes take my wedding band off at night just because I don't know what it is. It's mental, obviously. So for me, it took me a couple of times to get used to the fact that it's on. I might wake up becoming aware of it. And sometimes, and I've used this probably more than anyone else. Yeah. And a couple of times it's gotten uncomfortable, say around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then it's kind of like, guys always see women adjusting their bra. Well, why? Because the band is irritating the skin. Well, I got this thing on your dick. Hey, just all you got to do is open it up again, close it again, let it resettle into position, and then you go back to bed. Most of the time, I wake up in the morning, and I don't even know it's there.
Nice. Down,
oh, fuck, I got ping on. And then,
wow.
It's really, so that's a negative. It's really comfortable.
It's really, and okay, so here's some questions I want to talk about, because you know, I know that we talk about in a lot of men with ED and whatnot, but I think this is for all men. This is something that it can be for wanting to know more information about their bodies. And here's the thing. Healthcare has changed. You and I both know that, being in healthcare for, you know, combined over probably 70 something years. It's no longer the doctor's going to direct everything. You have to take charge of your own healthcare, and specifically men that are over 25 pounds, overweight or more, need to have this. They're taking metformin. They're taking high blood pressure. They're taking medications that are affecting their erections, and they're not getting the data that they need. And so men out there, I'm going to say, if it doesn't matter your age, because I talk to men that are in their 30s that are having erection issues, and that's because they're overweight. So really, it is people that are over 20, 30 pounds. If you're having erection issues and not having sex, because I do a lot of dead bedrooms, and I'm seeing, it's silly, I'm seeing dead bedrooms in the mid-20s to late 20s. But these people are putting on significant weight, 50 pounds, 100 pounds. Well, you got to make changes. So this is something that you can do for yourself as a male, is take control over your health and not just leave it up to somebody else. Put the ring on it and get the data that you need to be able to make some informative decisions. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, in our world, our data indicates that the ring is actually more effective than PDE5 medications. Specifically, tadalafil is the one that we tested. So you will on average, men were lasting about 3 minutes longer with the ring than with tadalafil. Both combined was even better. So so our message really to men is, if all men, if you want to have more pleasure, if you want to last longer, if you want to have more intense orgasm, put a ring on it. Getting the data is important as well too. If you have hypertension or diabetes, or you're overweight, or you don't know whether you're ED is psychological due to some physical problem, the ring will help you sort that out. So
that's really awesome. That's really cool. And like you said, this is the sixth vital sign.
Yes.
You said that in our podcast that we did together. And we do not pay attention to this vital sign.
And we should. in the past, we really did. We knew less about it. And we couldn't. And this is so, for example, this notion that, hey, if you have morning wood, you're okay. No, you actually have to have more than just morning wood in order to. If you're just having morning wood and no erections during the night, just so you're just having one nocturnal erection, that's not good. So you eventually will lose that morning wood. Having data. Urologists like to say the penis is the canary in the coal mine of cardiovascular disease, not just sexual problems, but cardiovascular disease. So people need to start paying attention. I'm confident that what we're doing, giving people an objective erectile fitness score, giving people objective, actionable data about their sexual and cardiovascular health, this will become a standard of care in the future. Not now. It'll take a while, because doctors are, they might be politically liberal, but they're conservative in terms of their practices, unless the government orders them to do something. But as we saw during COVID, so it takes a while to adopt new ideas. I'll give you an example. The electrocardiogram, which revolutionized cardiology. And what was cardiology before electrocardiogram? It was listening to the stethoscope. And if someone today just listened to, Steph, if you just went to a doctor today and said, gee, I've got some chest pain, and they listened to the stethoscope, and that's it. And so you're okay. You think, what the fuck is this, 1880? I want electrocardiogram. The angiogram. What's going on? And that's right. That's what we're doing with urology and sexology here. We're giving people data. And I'm confident this will become the standard of care and the standard for research. It's going to take about 3 to 5 years, but it's inevitable.
You mentioned this in our podcast, and that's why I'm going to bring this up lastly. And I'd love to hear a story. And I think you have a good one about a guy that just called you. But here's the standard prescription for longevity. We talked about it. Don't smoke, exercise daily, eat a low fat, low calorie diet, get at least 7 hours of sleep at night, don't abuse alcohol or other drugs, cultivate emotional closeness with friends and family. Not one about sexual health.
You can't get close to having sex, my opinion. We know that people who have sex daily reduce the cortisol level significantly, up to 50%. Cortisol is a stress hormone. There's a big study out of the United Kingdom showing that men who have sex regularly, I think it was 2 times a week, over the age of 70, decrease their cardiovascular risk by 50%. And we, as a company, and I have a team of expert urologists, our recommendation is that people have sex at least twice a week, and not just sex for three minutes, but sex 20, 30, 40 minutes. That's what, even if it's solo. I mean, it's nice. It's great that you love someone else, but you also got to make love to yourself. You're not going to get the same hormonal benefits to the immune system. And also benefits, I'll say, your soul, just having brief sex. Because then it's kind of, that'd be like going to a 3-star restaurant and eating all the food in 5 minutes. You know, we don't do that. We don't enjoy meals that way. And we need to actually, I often draw the analogy to cooking when it comes to sex. So, for example, Steph, I'm a really good cook. If you were coming to my house, I wouldn't like wait five. Oh no, Steph is coming. Let's see what's in the refrigerator. And oh my God, this fucking rotisserie chicken. Here's some leftover shrimp. Oh, I'll just heat it up in the microwave and put some sauce on it. No, I plan a meal. And people need to approach, I think, lovemaking the same way. And obviously when you're planning a meal, I might try this ingredient, I might try that ingredient. There's spontaneity involved, but you're planning to have something wonderful as opposed to, oh, I got to fill my stomach with food. I don't know why people approach sex that way, but you know, if I want to have a delicious, make it up, half pound of beef, I could buy the cheapest cut of chuck beef and steam it and eat it. Or I could say, I think I'm going to have a cold Thai beef salad tonight. So I'm going to marinate the meat, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I get flabbergasted that people don't approach lovemaking the same way. It's actually the same thing with going to the gym. You don't just show up at the gym and say, I got to put in 20 minutes. I guess I'll just get on the machine. It's really boring. No, if you really want to work out, you have a rotation plan. Anyway, I think plan for pleasure and put a ring on it.
I love it. And one story you have many stories, but maybe you could give us a recent story of success from one of your guys.
Yeah, sure. I was contacted. I'll give you two. I had a psychologist in his 50s, of all people, whose erections were softening. His doctor told him to take Viagra. He found no change. He showed me his nocturnal erections were 2. I suggested to him, hey, you're taking 2 medications for depression. Why don't you eliminate one? Mm-hmm. And he went to 3.5 erections per night. And I suggested to him, why don't you just cut the dose? And he ended up actually eliminating both his medication for depression. And he got his dick back and he's happier. He had a significant problem with delayed ejaculation to the point where he was avoiding sex. He's divorced, and on dates he would put off having sex because he was worried that, I can get it up, but I can't get it off, so to speak. And women actually want a guy to get it off as well, get off as well too. So he stopped. He's now happy. Another guy who's in his 60s.
Love it.
He has a benign prostatic hypertrophy, taking several medications, no response to Viagra. I recommend him with the advice of his doctor, although who knows, people actually do that. that he get rid of a flow medication he was taking, swap it out for another one, speak to his urologist about it. and that he put a and used the maximum performance ring, because if he'd get an erection, he would lose and use the maximum performance ring. And now he's confident. He says he can keep it hard for 30 to 45 minutes.
Wow.
So I probably get, you know, I have 3 to 5 people contact me a week. It's very satisfying. With
I love it.
Rings have changed the sexuality.
I love it. Yeah. And it is a game changer, you know, and I'm excited to hear more of our stories that we're going to learn about as we are doing more of our lives. You can catch us here weekly. We have some topics that we're going to discuss so Dr. J can get the My Firm Tech theory out there, because I completely believe in making sure that we are tracking our health, and sexual health is the number one. That's my whole life, is teaching you to have a healthy, satisfying sex life. So this is in alignment. I want to just let everyone know that for the women out there, Dr. J is working on the women component. So we will have that sometime in the summer. And so it's not just for men, it's for tracking for women as well. And this will help women with their, vaginal atrophy, right? Some of that kind of stuff.
Really,
right?
the clitoral atrophy. The clitoris ages as well.
Right. There we go.
We have two things coming out for women. We have a vibrator that attaches our device to the vibrator, is the right position for the clitoris. And then we have a tracker for women as well, too. And I'll talk about that
That's
more.
That's great. So, I love it. And I want to talk about that, too, because I've been recently just talking to women, and some women have been able to open up to me. And wow. I mean, I'm amazed that they're not having sex because of vaginal atrophy, and like what this could do as a life change. It's a game changer. It's huge.
Well, another subject I'd like to bring on a female expert to talk about what really works for women in terms of hormone therapy after menopause.
And that sounds good.
Maybe I'll invite Dr. Winters to join us.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Let me just do a little wrap here. Thanks for joining us on today's podcast. We are very grateful for all of your following. Please like, follow, subscribe so you can catch when we're on live again. This will be in the podcast platform within a weekish, and you can catch us here at least 3 times a month. And if not, catch our full podcast over live in the link in the bio. There is a 10% off coupon. Go into the link in the bio. My Firm Tech is the very first link, and Gilfsten is the promo code. It's all there for you, so you don't even need to remember this. All right, happy shopping, and thank you, Dr. J, for joining me today with My Firm Tech. Thanks. Have a great day. Okay, be well. Bye.
Cool, that was good. I've got to run in 3 minutes, but
And that's a wrap, folks. Thank you for joining me on today's exhilarating podcast of Let's Talk About Sex. If you loved what you heard and want to keep the conversation going, make sure to hit that subscribe button, like, and follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Don't miss out on our future episodes packed with even more tips, tricks, and tantalizing discussions. Got something to share or a burning question? I want to hear from you. Send me a message on social media or in my email. Your thoughts and stories and feedback mean the world to me, and I can't wait to hear from each and every one of you. Remember, your sexual empowerment journey doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep growing, and keep embracing your fabulous, authentic self. Until next time, this is Stephanie Smith signing off. Stay adventurous, stay safe, and stay sexy.